Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It's great to join you this Friday, September 26, 2014. We are into fall. The air is starting to get a bit cooler. Great day here in New York. Beginning of the Jewish New Year. For those of you of the Jewish faith, I wish you all a very happy, healthy, safe, successful New Year. For those who aren't, no matter how you measure the year, I hope it's a wonderful year for you, your family, and those who are close to you. Lots to talk about, lots going on in the world, and really, today the immigration focus should be on national security. Yet if you look at the mainstream media, it almost seems as though the word immigration has been, you know, banished from the airwaves. So we're here to take care of that problem. And there are some television networks, I'm happy to tell you, who are calling it the way it is. And we'll discuss those networks, One American News Network, Newsmax TV. I'm very happy to be a regular on a couple of those networks where we do get the truth out. And that is, after all, the purpose for this program. Those of you familiar with me know that I'm a retired senior special agent of what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service. My 30 years with the old INS has provided me with a unique vantage point, unique perspective, unique experiences, so that I can provide to you what I have learned in, hard to believe, almost 43 years of dealing with immigration. In fact, the first week in October will be the 43rd anniversary of my being sworn in as an immigration inspector and given that badge. So a lot of mileage under the hood here, but I hope that that mileage will help me to explain to you why this crisis that we are now facing, and not just along the U.S.-Mexican border, but throughout the entire immigration system, you need to know how this is really impacting America, impacting you, your family, your children, if you're old enough and so blessed, your grandchildren. Lots to get going on, but let me first start out reminding you about a couple of my favorite websites, michaelcutler.net, that's my own, one word, Michael Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R. I also, for years now, I have been a senior fellow with a terrific organization, CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org, C-A-P-S. I mean, they have been beating the drum for the longest time about the environmental impacts of the failures of immigration, the economic impact, unemployment, national security. You can't really name a challenge, a threat that's not getting hammered by this ongoing failure of this administration and prior administrations to actually secure our nation's borders and actually enforce our nation's immigration laws. But I have to tell you, hands down, this administration has been the absolute, flat-out, incomparable worst. Simple as that. And we will talk about the impact that this is all having. But, please go to the capsweb.org website. Really a great source of information where I join many other writers, provide many other perspectives, and they work very hard creating radio commercials, TV commercials, trying to educate as many people as possible. And while their title is Californians for Population Stabilization, the issue is not about just California. It's every state, every state. In fact, there's a documentary that has been produced by the Tea Party, my good friend Mark Hager from North Carolina, history professor and activist, is the force behind this film. Very proud to have been interviewed for it. I flew down to Atlanta, Georgia. Great film. It's the border states of America. And they echo a point that I have been making, it seems like forever, that we don't have just four border states, but 50 border states. Any state that lies along the northern as well as the southern border are border states. Any state that has an international airport is a border state. And finally, any state that has access to the tens of thousands of meandering coastline of the United States, whether it's the Pacific side, the Atlantic, or the Gulf, Gulf of Mexico, that is, all border states. You can't name a state that's not a border state. And when illegal aliens run the border, when aliens enter the United States, they tend to, move freely around the country. They talk about move freely about the cabin on an airplane. Well, these folks are moving freely around our country, aided and abetted not only by this administration, bad as it is, but by sanctuary cities, sanctuary states. In fact, I just wrote an article for Front Page Magazine. It's another great place, great resource, Front Page Magazine, published by the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And my article was entitled Sanctuary Cities or Safe Havens for Terrorists. So we get into all of that because my goal, and it has been my goal since the terror attacks of September 11, 2001, is to turn on the big wind machine and blow away the blue smoke and get rid of the mirrors and the propaganda and the nonsense and, quite frankly, the lies being spewed by the politicians from both sides of the aisle. There's a comedian who says, you're a redneck if, and they all kinds of things. You know that this is happening if. Well, you're being lied to if a politician starts focusing all of his or her attention on the Mexican border to the exclusion of every other failure of the immigration system. In fact, an earlier article that I wrote for Front Page Magazine was simply entitled Border Security and the Immigration Colander. The idea that simply plugging, and not even doing a very good job of that, but simply plugging one of the holes in the bottom of a colander that you use to drain pasta certainly would not enable you to use it as a bucket to carry water. It would be a foolish idea. But that's what these politicians would have you believe. Once we secure the Mexican border, as though that's the only place that we have a problem, as though there's nothing wrong with the visa process, there's nothing wrong with the way that we give citizenship to terrorists, nothing wrong with how we've seen the Tsarnaev brothers and other terrorists who've killed people in our country were granted political asylum because there's no integrity. Let's all ignore that stuff. Nothing to see here, folks. Just keep right on moving. Keep right on moving, even as we're told that the Middle East terrorist organizations, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, now Khorasan, have made it clear they want to come here and blow us up. But there's nothing to see here, folks. Just keep on moving. The threat against the subways, it's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. Just keep on going to work. Go about your life, and we'll just have business as usual. We will continue to have an onslaught of illegal aliens who evade the inspections process. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong indeed? So that's where we are today. And if you dare say anything and complain and say, gee whiz, this doesn't make any sense, immediately the label is out there. Bango, you're anti-immigrant. You're a hate monger. You're not fair. You lack compassion. So we're going to discuss, pardon me, all of this foolishness, all the lies, all these phony accusations, and we need to start to push back. We really do. Americans were never known to be cowardly, never known to be spineless, never known to be idiots. And we have to be all the above to allow people with an agenda to push us into a corner, tell us how foolish, how much we lack compassion, how bigoted we are because we say, hey, wait a minute, before we let people into the country, let's make sure they don't do harm to us. Let's keep track of who's here. But today, of course, forgive me, I've got a frog in my throat. I've been doing a ton of radio, a ton of TV all week because this has been a particularly difficult week in terms of the threats pouring in about beheadings and about the threat of terrorism. It's endless. And now, pardon me, now that we have a bombing campaign ongoing in the Middle East and we're going after ISIS and Khorasan, of course, the rhetoric is cranking up and the threats are cranking up, and it may well be nothing to it. Or we may find out tomorrow morning or the day after that something horrible will have happened. I would rather err on the side of caution. I wear my seatbelt in my car not because I'm planning to be in an accident, but in case there is an accident so that I stand the best possible chance of unbuckling my belt and simply stepping out of the car afterwards. Common sense. Common sense. And that's what's lacking. Common sense and integrity. I mean, think about it. We continuously hear we can't deport 11 million people, so the only viable alternative is to give people who snuck into the country, evaded an inspections process that's supposed to keep criminals, terrorists, and aliens with dangerous diseases or would otherwise pose a threat to our safety and well-being. Since we can't deport them, let's give them all lawful status. Never mind we don't know who they are. Never mind this violates the 9/11 Commission findings. Never mind that this undermines public safety and national security. We just can't do anything about it. We're an ineffectual country. What the heck? This is America, the land that can't accomplish anything, according to our politicians. And it's the same politicians, by the way. And always look for the contradictions when someone is talking to you, because that's the easiest way to know if you're confronting a damn liar. When someone can say to you in one breath that we need to import foreign workers because American schools are incapable of cranking out the STEM work, science, technology, engineering, and math, the engineers and the computer programmers. Can't do it here, folks. We got to bring them in because our schools can't do it. And then 2 minutes later, almost as though they forgot what they said, or maybe they're hoping we forgot what they said, the next statement that comes out of their mouths is when they say, and when foreign students go to those schools here in the United States, we should be stapling green cards onto their diplomas. But wait a minute. If we're being told that on the one hand, our schools are incapable of educating the scientists, engineers, programmers, high-tech workers that we need, so we need to bring in foreign workers, how can you then, 2 minutes later, turn around and say, oh, and by the way, when foreign students go to those same incompetent schools, they become so well-trained that we should be stapling a green card onto their diploma? It's a bald-faced lie, and the politicians who tell you that have good reason to tell you. They really do. They're being bribed, given campaign contributions. And the money that is being pumped into it by the likes of Zuckerberg and Andreessen at Facebook, who, you know, obviously works very closely with Zuckerberg. They accuse Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, a man who is one of my few heroes on Capitol Hill. They accuse anybody who supports him as being crazy. They actually said, this is something Andreessen said. He was quoted as saying that Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama was demonstrating clinical mental illness for standing with American workers. I want you to let those words sink in. This is mental illness to stand with your fellow American? Are you kidding me? And Zuckerberg created a hackathon where he and other, you know, these brilliant minds, he probably can't cross the street without his nursemaid helping him. He's probably a Johnny One Note, but he's certainly an anti-American. He certainly hates America and Americans, Mr. Zuckerberg, because this was the guy who created a hackathon where they would take time out from their precious BS and teach computer code to students who wanted to learn it. But there was a prerequisite. There was a requirement. If you wanted to participate, you had to be an illegal alien. Had to be an illegal alien. Forget about being an American citizen. Americans need not apply. Children living in poverty in the tenements that want to get out of those freezing buildings in the wintertime and sweltering buildings in the summer where the rats run through the hallways, where they go to sleep at night and they're attacked by bed bugs and roaches and all kinds of vermin. They go to bed hungry at night. These kids want to get out of poverty. Because you live in poverty doesn't mean you're an idiot. They may well be very talented, but no one's ever going to know because no one's ever going to give them an opportunity. How about giving those kids an opportunity so that they can break the cycle of poverty and violence and acquire the skills to truly become, middle class, wealthy contributors to our society? What a novel thought to actually help children so that they can help themselves. Oh, no, we can't do that for them, because after all, they're Americans, and Zuckerberg hates America and Americans, as does Andreessen, as does John Stossel. John Stossel, on his program Give Me a Break, went on and on and on about how we need to bring in foreign students. They had a supposed debate, and believe me, it was no debate. And then Stossel actually had the chutzpah, as we like to say in Brooklyn, of referring to Senator Jeff Sessions as that clueless Republican senator from Alabama. And to prove to you how clueless Sessions is, Stossel ran a video of Senator Sessions on the floor of the U.S. Senate. And what was he talking about? the need to provide jobs for Americans before we do that for foreign workers. That's clueless, Stossel. You give me a break. In fact, give us all a break. I've never heard of anything so disgusting or despicable in all my life. To look down your nose at your fellow Americans and say, oh, the senator's out of his mind. He wants to help Americans. What's wrong with him? Stossel, what's wrong with you? I mean, this is the most outrageous nonsense I have heard in quite some time. And this is, you know, a conservative program on Fox. And you have Stossel referring to Senator Sessions as clueless because he wants to make sure that Americans get first shot. How clueless is Senator Sessions? What kind of an imbecile is John Stossel? You know, it's funny. I was on Fox and Friends and saw Stossel doing a segment right after I did. I was going to wait and try to talk to him. And I said, you know what? It's pointless. It's absolutely pointless because this guy can't hear any other voice except his own. Self-righteous. He has all the answers out of an abundance of foolishness. Out of an abundance of foolishness. America's responsibility, the government of the United States has a responsibility first and foremost to its own citizens. Abraham Lincoln talked about that in his amazing Gettysburg Address. When Lincoln talked about a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, I guess when they gave that class at Stossel's school, he was in the bathroom or something. I mean, look, how in the world do you have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and then say that it's foolish for a senator to say, let's try to make sure that Americans are successful. Let's do everything we can to try to provide opportunities for Americans by enforcing our immigration laws. What a novel thought. What a novel thought that we could actually use our immigration laws to help American workers and their beleaguered families. And you know what Stossel doesn't know, and add it to the long list of stuff he obviously doesn't know besides decency, is that the Labor Department used to run the Immigration Service prior to the Second World War. That's how we built up the middle class, by making certain that Americans wouldn't have to compete with foreign workers for their jobs. So here's Stossel saying, oh, that clueless senator from Alabama who actually thinks that Americans should be the priority of the U.S. government. What a novel thought, John Stossel. Give me a break. So we have Andreessen referring to Sessions as being crazy for standing with American workers, Stossel referring to Senator Sessions as being clueless. Wow. Takes my breath away. And we get to the meat of the discussion that I really want to have with all of you this evening, and I thank you for joining me, and I hope this is helpful to you. It's been a very busy week. I was in Washington on Wednesday doing an event with Alan Freed Associates at the Speaker's Bureau in D.C., where I addressed some senior military and government officials on the nexus between immigration and national security. Had a quick meeting with a staffer of another one of my heroes, Congressman Lou Barletta from Pennsylvania. And then finally, taped a segment of a program, the Daily Ledger, hosted by Graham Ledger over at One American News Network. And if you're on my distribution list, I'll be putting it out there. If you go to my website, the link will be up. But we talked specifically about sanctuary cities providing safe haven for the terrorists. And then last night, I was with the Tea Party group in Montville, New Jersey, a great bunch of folks. I was happy to address them. Within a couple of weeks, I'll be back in Washington with Progressives for Immigration Reform, addressing a meeting there on immigration and the impact it's having on America and Americans, the fact that there are so many failures in that supposed system. Towards the end of the month, I believe it's the 24th of October, I will be in Pennsylvania conducting a town hall meeting with a radio talk show host that I'm on with regularly, Bobby Gunther Walsh from Lehigh Valley. So, you know, my purpose, my whole mission, if you will, is to get the word out. And, of course, I'm very excited because within the next couple of weeks, that documentary by the Tea Party will be coming out, and I'm very proud and pleased to have participated in it. This is about getting people to understand the issues. Because if you want to talk about clueless, look at Mayor de Blasio. Clueless, foolish, dangerous. I mean, what words do you want to use? We have been having a problem with sanctuary cities in the United States for for a number of years. Politicians from both sides of the aisle have refused to do anything about it. And I'm talking now about administrations. Under the immigration laws of the United States, and I'll give you the section of law, this isn't a law lesson, but if you want to look it up, because whatever I tell you is verifiable. We need to deal with hard facts, folks, not conjecture, not lies, not propaganda. The truth. The truth. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1324, deals with, it's an immigration statute. It's part of the Immigration and Nationality Act, and it deals with harboring, shielding, aiding, abetting, encouraging, inducing, transporting illegal aliens. And when we talk about aiding, abetting, encouraging, inducing, to either enter illegally or remain thereafter illegally in the United States. Is that not what sanctuary cities do? Shield them from detection by immigration? Of course, immigration would probably just give them a card that says, come on down. So it's both sides. But we've had this going on now, going back to Rudy Giuliani as the mayor prior to 9/11. This has been going on for decades. That we have a federal government that tells cities and states, if you don't want to work with immigration, that's fine with us. It's okay. It's okay. Could you imagine if this was over taxes? Imagine if a city or state said, we're going to give our citizens sanctuary from the IRS. We're not going to let the IRS know where these people are. We're going to block them so that you can't find them. Lots of luck on that one. They won't do it with any other violations of law, but immigration is a whole special category. So they talk about providing sanctuary, safe haven for aliens who sneak into the United States. Well, if it's not a big deal to sneak into the United States, I have a proposal. Let's eliminate the Border Patrol. Let's eliminate the inspectors at ports of entry. Let's eliminate the whole immigration mechanism. Since nobody in Congress seems to care how people come here, with a few exceptions, Congressman Barletta, Senator Sessions, Senator Grassley, Senator David Vitta, Congressman Steve King, there are a few. But if it's not a big deal to sneak into the country, and somehow sneaking into the country should entitle you, if not to citizenship, then at least lawful status, then why in the world do we require aliens to go through a formal vetting process that's supposed to keep out the bad guys when you could sneak past the vetting process and we'll give you whatever it is that drove you across our border in violation of law in the first place. Let's just have airplanes that arrive at international airports, whether it's from Jamaica, whether it's from, pick a country in Africa or Europe or Latin America or Asia. Just pull in next to the planes that have come from the other side of the country. The planes come from the other side of the world. And they all pull into gates next to each other. The people get off. They grab their suitcases. And they go wherever they want to go. And we all sing Kumbaya. And we could save the government a ton of money by getting rid of ICE, getting rid of Customs and Border Protection, getting rid of anybody that has anything to do with enforcing the immigration laws. Come on down. We'll declare everybody to be a citizen of the United States if they were born on the planet Earth. Then, of course, if a flying saucer landed, we'd be accused of species profiling. If you looked at a creature with six eyes and two heads and said, gee whiz, I don't know if that's a terrestrial human being, no, you'd be profiling again. But it's remarkable that profiling is alive and well when we hear about the Latino vote. Suddenly profiling becomes acceptable. The disconnect from reality is not just startling, it's shocking. We are at a heightened level of alert. Great Britain and France are certainly cranked all the way up. We've had Americans beheaded by these thugs from ISIS. There was a Frenchman beheaded. There are more Brits being held, and there was a Brit beheaded as well. Look, we know they're gunning for us. We're being warned that they might come into the United States, and if they do, they might try to carry out an attack, but the FBI has them under surveillance. I assure you, they don't know every terrorist, you know. There's no way of looking at someone and saying, oh, that guy's a terrorist, unless you know him specifically. Yes, we are able to identify some, but, I mean, really and truly, Muhammad Atta was stopped by the police for speeding a couple of days before 9/11, and they let him go. Don't for a heartbeat think that we know everybody who's involved with terrorism. That's not the case. It's nonsense. You know, we should call this Operation Backrub. You know, when a child gets up in the middle of the night suffering night terrors, the dutiful parent gives the kid a little bit of a back rub, and they serve up some warm milk, and they hope the kid can go back to sleep so the parent can go back to sleep. That's what they're doing. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Meanwhile, they've cranked up the number of public service announcements. If you see something, say something. If you normally go to a train station, you know when something's not right. Quick, tell authorities. Well, why are they running those ads? I'll tell you why, because there's concern that something may happen. And they're right. People who come to that train station day in, day out, know if something is moved. A garbage can is moved. Something doesn't smell right, doesn't look right. You should report it. But, of course, when the Minutemen did that on the border, they were accused of being vigilantes by both President Bush, George W., and by Felipe Calderon, Vicente Fox. Oh, hey, the vigilantes. Why? Well, do you think maybe if people are charging across the border, there's a problem here? Mayor Bloomberg, while he was mayor, screamed and ranted and raved about people trespassing in the housing projects. Well, if you trespass, that's no good. That means criminals are coming in. He's right. And he demanded to know why everybody arrested for trespassing in the Bronx housing projects and public housing weren't being arrested and prosecuted for trespass. And he suggested that maybe everybody who lived in public housing should be fingerprinted. We got to get tough on trespassing. I agree with him. Unless it becomes a matter of people trespassing on America. And then Bloomberg said those people should be getting a key to the city of New York. And indeed, Mayor de Blasio, to provide illegal aliens with identity documents. And I was watching a debate, I believe it was on Fox News, and the debate came down to not does it make sense to give illegal aliens identity documents when you can't even verify their identity, a little scary, but whether or not it made sense because the ID that the mayor wants to give them would be worth over $2,000 because they could use it to get into all these major attractions in New York City. And certainly in New York, there's no shortage of attractions. So now the debate came down to whether or not it's fair that illegal aliens can get to the museum for free. Why in the world was nobody talking about the danger to public safety or the danger to national security of providing identity documents to illegal aliens? You know, the 9/11 Commission said that the 19 terrorists who attacked us so viciously on 9/11 in the aggregate used more than 300 false names or variations of false names. Obviously, this is one of the tactics of the terrorists. When you hear about somebody being arrested, you don't have to have been an agent or a police officer. Everybody has the same image. The guy gets dragged off the street or the gal in handcuffs. They get brought to the police precinct or they get brought to a federal office. And what happens next? Fingerprinting and photographing. Why? Well, you caught a fish. You don't know for sure what fish you caught. So you want the fingerprints and other biometrics to make certain as to the identity of the person you caught. Why? Because bad guys use multiple identities. This is common sense. I've arrested people when you run the fingerprints. My goodness gracious, if you took a look and saw how many false identities they had, it would be staggering. It's a common way of concealing themselves. Terrorism is a matter of asymmetric warfare. ISIS can't take on the U.S. military in a frontal assault. They're not equal. It's like trying to race a Ferrari on a tricycle. It's not going to work. So they engage in what's known as asymmetrical warfare. They get behind the enemy lines, and for the terrorists, you know where the enemy lines are? They are the borders of the United States of America. Whether it's the Mexican border, the Canadian border, stowing away on a ship, or arriving at an international airport. They get behind enemy lines and they launch an attack. Soldiers in combat wear camouflage fatigues, depending on if they're in the desert or a jungle or the North Pole. They wear camouflage so that it's difficult to see them at a distance to make it easier for them to move about freely. That's why they wear camouflage. Creatures in the animal kingdom engage in that similar tactic. Chameleons change color. Squids change color. You know, there are ways of concealing themselves by changing color and appearance that they blend in. Terrorists blend in by wearing regular clothing, blue jeans, sweatshirt, sneakers, if that's called for, or perhaps a suit, if that works better. So they wear ordinary clothing that looks appropriate for whatever it is they're doing. They try to get a job that gives them mobility and camouflage. Good example, the guy Cansey, who shot up the CIA in 93, bought into a courier delivery service. Why? Because now he has a van. And delivery vans are so ubiquitous, they're like yellow cabs in New York City and downtown Manhattan. People tend not to see those delivery trucks. They're part of the backdrop. It's like looking at a tree in the forest. Just another tree, just another truck. And he used that truck to do surveillance covertly on the CIA to figure out what time the people would arrive, what entrance they would drive through, where he could position himself. He's just driving his old truck and no one sees anything. And then one day he hops out of that truck with an AK-47 and opens fire. So the terrorists generally want to have a job that provides them with that opportunity to move around in a vehicle. They need driver's licenses. Yet another reason why providing driver's licenses to illegal aliens is nuts, because you're providing opportunities for the bad guys. These are people who snuck into the country. They should have no expectation of having anything done on their behalf. But today, in this upside-down, backwards world, the Republicans and the Democrats are in a fierce battle to see who could do better and more by people who shouldn't even by lawful authority be in our country, or by common sense. I mean, think about it. These are trespassers on America, and the Republicans who claim to be constitutionalists, and that's another big, fat, juicy lie. I'm a constitutionalist, and they wave the Constitution. Yeah, well, the Constitution talks about invasion, doesn't it? So how in the world can you be a constitutionalist and then condone trespassing and invading? And don't tell me that paying a fine doesn't make it amnesty. Wow. I mean, you know, give me a break. I hate to use it because I keep thinking of that squirmy little character, Stossel. But I mean, it makes no sense. If you're really a constitutionalist, then you follow the laws as they're written. If you're a constitutionalist, you understand that you're not supposed to permit the invasion of your country. So when a politician says, I'm a constitutionalist, and first we're going to secure the border, we know that we're dealing with a liar. So move on. Nothing to see here, folks. Vote him out of office. When you have a politician who says, I don't do town hall meetings, vote him out of office. I don't care if you like the guy. I don't even care if he's been voting properly on issues. If you're not willing to meet with your constituents, that's like an employee not willing to meet with his employer. When I was an agent, I had some bosses I liked and some bosses I could have done without. But no matter how I felt about my boss, if he said to me, Mike Cutler, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we're having a meeting in my office, I was there at 8:45, because certainly he was my boss, and he had the right to tell me, you're coming in tomorrow for a meeting. And we might want to discuss a case I was working on or figure out a strategy, whatever it was. His decision, because he was the guy that I had to answer to. Politicians are supposed to answer to us. You'd never know it today. You'd never know it. So understand what we're dealing with. But going back to this issue of camouflage, the biggest camouflage that the bad guys use is fake ID. Actually, legitimate ID issued in the wrong name. And that's exactly what de Blasio was preparing to do. And New York, ironically, was the city that took the worst hit on 9/11. And this past week, as people talk about the casualty count, terrible tragedy in New York this week, relating back to 9/11. Three firefighters died on the same day of different forms of cancer, and they had all worked on what came to be known as the pile. The pile, for those of you not familiar with the jargon, was that debris field of the remains of the Twin Towers and the other buildings that collapsed. They dug through those remains looking for victims, and many of them have gotten sick. These people have been suffering for more than a decade with illnesses that are killing them. So the casualty count from 9/11 continues. And Mayor de Blasio, the chief executive of the city of New York, the city that got hammered the worst on September 11th, 2001, doesn't seem to care, doesn't seem to get it. lives in his own parallel universe because he's a politician. And unfortunately, with a few exceptions, these politicians don't care. They have people bamboozled into thinking that politicians can do whatever they want to do because they're in control. They're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be beholden to us. We are the employer. They are the employee. But you'd never know it. You would never know it because of their arrogance and because Americans have become apathetic and foolish. Folks, we need to make them accountable. And let me tell you how blatant it is in terms of de Blasio. Somebody wrote something about him and called him dumb Blasio. Kind of childish, but I understand the frustration. I understand the frustration. People in New York are concerned. In fact, there was a threat that just came out of the Iraqi prime minister that there might be an attack on the Parisian and American subway systems. And, of course, when you think subways, you immediately think New York. So de Blasio and Cuomo immediately hopped on the train and said, nothing to see here, folks. See, we're riding the train. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. They will talk about bringing in dogs. They will talk about tightening up on everything. But don't you dare talk about immigration. And I've seen that happen on news programs on all the networks. All the networks, with the exception of one American news network, to their credit, and with the exception of Newsmax TV. And in fact, this Monday, once again, I seem to be doing it at least once a week on each of these networks. I will be on with my J.D. Hayworth. I can't quite say my friend, but I know J.D. because he was a member of Congress, and in fact, he was one of the participants when I testified before the Immigration Reform Caucus, November 2001, just about 6 weeks after 9/11. He was one of the members of Congress who was very much a participant in that hearing. He is now the host of this program, America's Forum, American Forum, that airs from 9 until 12 noon East Coast time, and I will be on Monday morning on his program, American Forum, talking about the aliens who've gone missing. But so understand, the other networks won't talk about immigration. They'll talk about boots on the ground. They'll talk about the value of airstrikes. They'll talk about whether we should build a coalition. They will talk about everything and anything. There's only one thing you cannot talk about if you want to be on those programs. You may not talk about the role of the failure of the immigration system inside the United States. That becomes a problem because we are dealing with corporations that are globalists. Globalists. So everyone's so worried about their little profit motive, and they don't seem to care that they can wind up getting a lot of people killed. One of the people who lost his son on 9/11 said to me, and he was all worked up, he said, these SOBs, the politicians and these corporate leaders, he said, they look at my son's death, his son's death, that is to say, as collateral damage, the cost of doing business. He said, the people jumped from the towers, it wasn't their family, they didn't care. They didn't care, it wasn't their family. And he said, the foolishness is that, God forbid, it could be their family the next time. And in fact, these politicians are so ignorant. I was talking to Congressman Barletta about it. He really gets it. Boy, if you ever wanted to meet a man who's the epitome of a representative, it's Lou Barletta from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. I called him up Sunday night, and I have his direct cell phone that his family uses. Try that with most members of Congress and see how far it gets you. And I said, what's wrong with your colleagues? Don't they remember that on 9/11, the members of the Senate and House of Representatives were told, do not wear those lapel pins because they identify you as a member of Congress, and that puts a big juicy bullseye on your back. But they're so intent on getting those campaign contributions and listening to playing Follow the Leader with John Boehner, I always get that confused, that they're throwing caution and their safety and their family's safety to the wind. Believe me, if the bad guys could knock somebody off, they'd rather do it with a high-profile person because that has a bigger emotional impact than some schmo working in a department store. If it's a person that everybody knows and there's a tragedy, it becomes headlines. Think about it. Anytime a member of Congress cheats on his wife, it's the front page. If your neighbor down the block who owns a lumberyard cheats on his wife, no one's going to know about it. You know, celebrity carries a lot of leverage. And if you want to scare the hell out of people, it's the political leaders that are the targets, but they're too stupid and self-absorbed to understand it. They don't even have a sense of self-survival. I mean, think about that. This is how ignorant they are. This is how focused on the contributions they are, that they don't get it, that they're putting themselves and their families at risk. Hope is not a strategy, folks. Really, it's not. Look at de Blasio. I mean, totally incredible. There was a story that was published online on September 17th, just over a week ago. And the title of the story, of the report, New York City Mayor de Blasio facing criticism for curbing counterterrorism programs. Let me read this to you, because this was, by the way, included in the article that I wrote for Front Page Magazine. They quoted somebody by the name of John Lehman. If you don't know the name, John Lehman had been the Secretary of the Navy, and he was also a member of the 9/11 Commission. This guy is a heavy hitter. He's a bright guy. He's right on the issues. And I find this interesting because, as you may know, I provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission. So, you know, Lehman is very much concerned by what de Blasio is doing. And here is what how the article starts out, or at least here's an excerpt from the article. I'm going to read this to you. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is facing backlash over his decision to curb several counterterrorism programs introduced by former Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Quote, he has reassigned people and vehicles and special equipment to non-counterterrorist activities, said John Lehman, a former member of the 9/11 Commission, who recommended that New York City adopt stronger surveillance initiatives after the 9/11 attacks. The New York City Police Department's Stop and Frisk program, which faced criticism for disproportionately targeting minority youths, has been restricted under de Blasio. Lehman believes the program was instrumental in discouraging would-be terrorists from carrying a bomb or wearing a suicide vest in high-risk areas of New York City. Critics say the policy may discourage police officers from stopping a person who might appear suspicious. Quote, if you see someone with a package or a bulky vest, you are taking a great risk if you stop and frisk them. If the person is a person of color and not carrying a bomb or evidence of potential terrorist risks, as a cop, you're in big trouble, Lehman said. The Hill, which is another prominent website publication in Washington, The Hill, reports that de Blasio has also been criticized for approving a program to issue municipal IDs of standards lower than those mandated by the federal government's Real ID program. The municipal IDs are intended to serve undocumented immigrants and residents who may not be eligible for regular state IDs under the Real ID program. They're completely opposed to Real ID, this is Lehman saying this, and the other issues that were adopted by Congress as a result of our, meaning the 9/11 Commission, recommendations, Lehman said. The Real ID Act of 2005 requires verified proof of identification, like birth certificates or Social Security numbers, before state ID cards are issued to residents. Quote, you need a reliable way of identifying people. You don't simply issue ID cards willy-nilly to anybody who wants them and shows up and has his picture taken and tells you what his name is, Lehman said. You would think that's common sense. You would think that's common sense. Not so much. So you've got Lehman doing this. You've got de Blasio doing this, and Lehman is losing his mind over this. And then you turn on TV, and the focus wasn't on Lehman so much it was on whether or not it made sense to give these people a $2,000 discount on the attractions. Why not focus on failures to enforce the immigration laws and what it means to national security and public safety? The reason being that just about everybody is feeding at the trough. That's the problem. ABC News, not so much, you see. ABC's reported on it from time to time, but let's remember they're a Disney company, and I don't care what wall they claim they've established. The hotel, hospitality, and travel industries has partnered with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They've created a program known as the Discover America Partnership, and their goal is to eliminate the visa requirement from as many countries as possible to take down America's borders. When I testified before House Immigration Subcommittee hearing a couple of years ago, one of the other witnesses at the hearing was an executive with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And there are times when, during a hearing, the members of Congress have to call the recess so they can go vote on bills or other issues. So we were standing around waiting for a 45-minute recess to be over, kind of like a rain delay at a baseball game. And this guy walked up to me and he said, "Yeah, Mr. Cutler, you just don't get it. You keep talking about securing that border. That border is an impediment to our wealth." That was what he told me off the record. "That border is an impediment to our wealth." I said, "Yes, and it's an impediment to the terrorists and criminals who want to kill us." And boy, this guy was furious. He said, "You got to stop talking that way." I said, "Why?" He said, "You just got to stop talking that way." And I said, "Why?" And he waved his hand in my face and he walked away. He doesn't care. He's playing the odds. So what if a couple thousand people die? I really don't think this guy could give, you know, one whit about it. As long as it wasn't his friends or his family's, your problem, not mine. And I think that's really what most of these people are doing. They don't care that Americans die. It's the cost of doing business. Of course, if they had a half a brain in their head, I don't expect them to have a heart, because they don't. Anybody that's that focused on profit over the survival of Americans is a worthless piece of trash in my world. But what they don't understand is that if there's another terrorist attack, you'll be able to use airport runways for parking lots because no one's going to go anywhere. They seem to have forgotten what happened on 9/11 when it was an act of heroism to get on an airplane and fly to New York, when hotels had an occupancy rate of, like, you know, 20%. But they can't focus on that. All they want to know is, how much money can I make today? Money, money, more money. The hell with America, the hell with Americans. Which is why Zuckerberg is doing what he's doing, which is why Andreessen makes the outrageous statements about Senator Sessions, who's a hero. I mean, I'd love to see Sessions run for president. And I'm a Democrat from Brooklyn. But Senator Sessions is a hero. Lou Barletta is a hero. Now, here's the reason that I had a meeting with Lou Barletta's staffer on Wednesday after I got done delivering my remarks at a seminar for the military. There is a documentary that is out on HBO right now, and to call it sobering doesn't do it justice. It's a documentary about the attack at the Westgate Mall, and this was in Kenya. It's a terrible film to watch. I watched it as a former agent, trying to figure out if, God forbid, I was caught up in something like that strategically, what do you do? What do you do? And so this documentary, really worth watching if you want to understand the kind of threats that we face. The name of this film is Terror at the Mall, and it's about how four gunmen armed with high-powered rifles over a period of several days just wandered through the mall and shot and killed people. The footage is graphic. It's not edited. When someone gets hit, you see the body bounce. You see the blood spurt. You see the person convulse and die. Sobering. The photos, the videos came from mall cameras, from store cameras, and from people's cell phones. And these guys were just strolling through the mall, you know, like they were out there looking to, sightsee. And when they saw people, they took aim and fired. And if the person was still moving, they'd walk up close and go pop, 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 and pop a bunch more rounds into that victim. They killed, I don't know how many dozens of people. It was horrible. And I saw the picture, the video, and a good friend of mine, retired FBI agent, my friend Ron, met with me for dinner this past weekend. He said, "Mike, if you could do something for this, I would appreciate it." He said, "I made a copy of the DVD. Can you see to it that Congress gets it? I want those idiots to understand that this can happen here. It's not just airplanes." So I called up my friend Barletta on the following, you know, that next day, which was Sunday, last Sunday, and we talked about it, and Lou said, "Look, if you can get me a copy of the DVD, we'll make copies of it and we'll distribute it to all the members of Congress." So when I got done delivering my remarks, that's exactly what happened. I met with Lou's staffer, and she promised me that they would make copies of that DVD and distribute it to the members of the Senate and House of Representatives. These are the risks we face. And we have politicians acting irrationally to make sure they get their campaign contributions, chasing mythical votes. You know, I love dogs. My father used to say, if you meet somebody who doesn't like animals, run for your life. I think my dad was right. My parents were right about so many things. But one of the great things that I like to do with puppies in particular is if you shine a light on the floor, they tend to chase the light. And it's kind of fun, and it's harmless, and it keeps them occupied, and it gets them running, and they like to run around the house. So this just, it's a harmless way of playing with a puppy. But what I thought of one day when I was doing that was how Boehner and these other characters are chasing votes, and it's just like chasing that light on the floor. It's a lie. This is not about Latino votes. You know, America's Latinos, America's blacks, we're talking about American citizens here, folks, are suffering the highest levels of poverty, the highest levels of violence within their own communities because of the drug trade, because of unemployment, because of underemployment, and so much of this is exacerbated by foreign workers coming to the United States and by criminals coming to the United States and bringing heroin and cocaine with them. One of the things I talked about in my article for Front Page Magazine is the fact that Jay Johnson was being interviewed, or being questioned, I should say, by both Lou Barletta and Jason Chaffetz. And it was amazing because Chaffetz asked Jay Johnson, the head of Homeland Security, or I call it Homeland Surrender, if he was aware of any terrorists entering the United States by running the Mexican border. And he started having this little twitching thing going, not quite, but sort of almost. You know, you could just see his body language. I mean, he was cringing. Well, not that I could recall at the moment. I'm not sure. I don't know about it. I didn't hear about it. And Chaffetz said, well, you know, what would you say if I told you I have information about four terrorists who entered through two different ports and were grabbed? They were arrested. Oh, yeah, we heard about that. Well, we're still trying to verify. We're not sure. We're looking into it. We're exploring it. Come on, let's get real. And then Chaffetz asked him if he knew what the level of control that DHS, the Border Patrol, had over the U.S. border with Mexico. And Jay Johnson said he had no idea. He didn't know. How can you be the head of the Department of Homeland Surrender and not know whether or not the border is under control? And if it's not, to what extent? I don't know. And Johnson was then told by Chaffetz that Chaffetz had information that the level of operational control, and I'd love to know what a definition of operational control is. I mean, these qualifying words are mind-boggling. But he said to him, what would you say if I told you that it's believed that there's a 6% control over the border? No response from Johnson. 6%. You know what that means, folks? If there's 6% operational control, there's a 94% free-for-all. Do you wonder why we are in the midst of a heroin epidemic? In New York City, the rule now is, or actually New York State, that unless you're retired law enforcement who carried a semi-automatic weapon, that you get a pass on this, you get a waiver. But if you're a civilian with a carry permit, you may not put more than 7 rounds into a 10-round magazine for your semi-automatic handgun, no matter how many bullets that gun was originally designed to hold. So if you have a gun that could hold 15 rounds, you have to go out, buy a 10-round magazine, and they're not cheap, and only put 7 bullets in the 10-round magazine because that's going to prevent mass shootings. Does anybody believe this foolishness? Do you think a terrorist is sitting there saying, oh, my God, I have a 15-round magazine. I better go buy some new magazines, and I better make sure not to put too many bullets in my gun? Do you think terrorists are doing that, or crazy people, or criminals? Because none of them are supposed to have guns in the first place anyway. So they pass these ridiculous laws and they say, oh, now we've solved the problem. No, you haven't. These are illusions. They're illusions. They're not real. You want to go after violence? Go after the narcotics. Go after the gangs. That means securing our borders and enforcing our immigration laws. That's what it means. Every ounce of heroin, every ounce of cocaine represents graphic evidence of a failure of border security because we do not produce any of those substances, chemicals inside the United States. But you see, when Bloomberg was screaming about salt and sugar in the diet and the big gulp drinks, I mean, I had nightmares about big gulp drinks marching down Main Street, you know. They're the evil enemy. They're going to do us in. So this morning I was on a radio show, and I said, well, you know, I have to admit, every morning when I get up, I pour myself a cup of coffee, and I add that third teaspoon of sugar. I guess it's not the best thing in the world for me, but my dad loved sweet coffee, and I guess I have his same genes for liking sweet coffee. So tell me, what's a bigger risk to someone's health, that extra spoon of sugar, which I could probably do without, or the guy that shoves a spoon under his nose and snorts some heroin or shoots up snorts some cocaine or shoots up some heroin? What's the bigger threat? But yet you never heard Bloomberg talk about the drugs. We heard about salt, we heard about sugar, we never heard about heroin or cocaine. The disconnect, this lack of mouth-ear coordination, is going to do us in. And the average American just sits there watching TV, Dancing with the Stars, whatever. Who's going to win the World Series? I mean, this is remarkable stuff. See, I have a suggestion. If you have children, if you're a parent, if you're so blessed, I will tell you right now, if you are not involved in politics, you're a crappy mother or a crappy father. Very simple. If you're not involved with politics, you're an irresponsible parent. I don't care what else you've done for your child. I don't care about all the after-school programs. I don't care that you bought them the best computers. I don't care that you take them to museums. I don't care that you've set aside money for their college education. If you're not involved in politics, you suck as a parent. Because the politicians are destroying the country and the opportunities for your children and for your grandchildren. It's as important to be involved in politics as anything else that you would do on behalf of your kids. And please don't tell me you're working too hard to pay attention. Because if at the end of the day there's another terrorist attack, someone's children are going to die. If, in fact, we continue down this path, a college education will be worthless. Everyone's jumping on this bandwagon called income equality. And the comedians are going crazy with it. This guy that's on Sunday nights, the Brit, you know, last week, this week, tonight, something or other. And he did half a show a couple of weeks ago about income inequality. And the idea most people walk away with is, oh, he's just talking about, you know, how much the wealthy are making and these poor middle-class workers are running around like crazy and they can't catch up. No. This has nothing to do with that. See, when we get on an elevator, we always make sure if the elevator is going in the direction we want to go. You know, going up, going down, whatever. The elevator about income equality is going down, but nobody seems to get it. Everybody thinks the elevator is going up. Oh, this is good. They're fighting income inequality. So if I'm middle class, I'll make more money because they got to reduce the inequality between me and the wealthy. Not the case. Alan Greenspan testified for Chuck Schumer April 30th, 2009, and he talked about the need to greatly reduce income inequality, but it was between Americans with skills and no skills. Skills, middle class, no skills, the working poor. We need to greatly reduce income inequality. We're paying a wage premium, he said, to the people with skills. Wage premium? No, that's not a wage premium. It's called a salary, Greenspan, but he called it a wage premium, and we need to reduce the wage premium so we can reduce income inequality. So what was he saying? If we reduce the wages of middle-class workers, we will narrow the gap between the middle class and the poor. Is that the kind of wage equality you're looking for? Does anybody get it? But yet the politicians, the comedians are out there laughing their tails off. Oh, look at this, income equality. The president is right. This is the war cry for the Democrats, income inequality. And everybody thinks that they're talking about the gap between the middle class and the wealthy. In fact, they want to make that gap a lot bigger. They want to shrink the gap between the middle class and the poor. And not by raising the poor, but by lowering the middle class. Now, when was the last time you saw that anywhere or heard that anywhere? Income inequality. It's a joke. It's a joke. I have to tell you, this is crazy stuff. This is truly crazy stuff. And yet nobody is challenging it because it plays well. just like the accusation that it's anti-immigrant to want the immigration laws enforced. Never mind that the laws that I want to see enforced, the immigration laws, are the same laws that not only tell us who to kick out and who to keep out, but who to let in. So realize that the laws that we're talking about are the laws by which we admit more than 1 million lawful immigrants every year. So how in the world can you be anti-immigrant when you favor the laws that allow immigrants to legally immigrate? It's crazy. But no one ever stops and says this doesn't make sense. They pick up on a little slogan, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should, and everybody gets lung disease, emphysema, and cancer, and heart disease, because they buy the slogan. No one looks beyond the slogan. Nobody looks beyond the phrase. Income inequality bad, so we've got to do something about income inequality. They're not asking who we're going to be making more, be made more equal to. You see, no one asks the question, is the elevator going up or is the elevator going down? Everyone wants to believe the elevator is going up, so they're thinking this is about the wealthy, because they talk about the people making gazillions of dollars, right? But then you read what Alan Greenspan has to say, and you can go online. You could see the hearing. You could watch the video. It's on the U.S. Senate website. This isn't like some rinky-dink website where it was Photoshopped. The U.S. Senate has it posted. And there's Greenspan making these outrageous statements. I remember I was on a radio show the day after the hearing, and the young lady whose show I was on said to me, what did you think of Greenspan when you saw him testify? I said, I realized I was witnessing a first. She said, what sort of first? I said, it was the first time they let somebody testify who was suffering from rigor mortis. I don't like Greenspan. He is the enemy of the middle class. He is the enemy of America's American dream. And you know, it's amazing that if you use the word alien, everybody gets all upset. Oh, it's hate speech. Yet, when you look at the DREAM Act and the Dreamers, the A in DREAM, alien minors. So suddenly the word alien became palatable because we're linking it to the American dream. Never mind, Americans need not apply. Just like Americans need not apply when you look at Zuckerberg and his hackathon. Just like Americans need not apply when Ted Cruz was out there speaking at the D.C. March for Jobs, and he has a proposal. Check it out, folks. It's all verifiable. He said that there was something terribly wrong with comprehensive immigration reform that the Senate passed. You know what he said was wrong with it? He said that comprehensive immigration reform would only allow a tripling of the number of high-tech visas. Tripling. He wants them increased by a factor of 500%. Why? Well, he made it clear. He said America needs to import the best and brightest. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that I always thought the best and brightest had a name. I thought we called them Americans. Look at it, our achievements as a nation, the achievements that nobody wants to remember these days. We built the Panama Canal after other nations failed. We built the atom bomb. We could argue about, you know, if this was good or bad for civilization, but the point was the Japanese and Germans were working like crazy, and if we hadn't beaten them to the punch, we might be speaking a different language. In fact, I know I wouldn't be here now. My grandmother was killed in the Holocaust. I'm Jewish. We went to the moon. We broke the sound barrier. It was our scientists who discovered the DNA. The double helix of DNA. I mean, go down the list of what we've accomplished. So we've got to bring in the best and brightest? Really? Honest to God, do you think that's true? This is about wage suppression. We're destroying America. The remittances are destroying our balance of payments that the foreign workers send home. Last year, between $125 and $200 billion wired out of the United States by foreign workers, legal and illegal. I mean, understand the problem. Understand the problem. But the real focus today, with the threat of terrorism hanging over our head, not unlike the Damoclean sword, is that we are allowing people free access to our country who want to kill us. So while we're strip searching 85-year-old women trying to get on airplanes, while little four-year-old girls who panic at the sight of all the equipment at the airport run back for a last hug from grandma or grandpa is liable to be taken aside and strip searched. I mean, this is insanity. We have unknown millions of foreign students and visitors coming here every year. We have over 1 million foreign students here. They claim to have lost track of 58,000. 6,000 of whom are of particular concern. Look what 19 terrorists did, and they can't find 6,000 students of particular concern. We have an election day coming. We really need to be out there. You need to be calling up the Senate and House switchboards every single day. Keep calling and calling and calling, because this president is going to take executive action. And the Republicans have made it clear that if they win control of the Senate, and if they then win the presidency, that they're going to give us comprehensive reform. See, it's a matter of who's going to poison us first, the Democrats or the Republicans. We've got to make it abundantly clear to these idiots and these crooks in Washington that they need to follow the role models of Barletta and Sessions and Steve King and David Vitter and Chuck Grassley and those other few courageous, true leaders who understand it. We are facing an existential threat that, in my judgment, is unparalleled since the Second World War. And we have people in Washington who are shoveling money into their little accounts and looking for all kinds of other little perks and benefits, or are running so scared about the idea that they might lose an election that they're selling out our country. They're selling out their fellow Americans. They're betraying their oaths of office. They're betraying the Constitution of the United States. Both sides of the aisle. This isn't about left or right. This is about right or wrong, folks. I can't emphasize this enough. I need you to be involved. If you're taking the time to listen to my program, I thank you for it. I hope that you will pass along the information that you find on my website and the podcast to as many of your friends as possible. As I like to always point out, I'm trying to create a bucket brigade of truth. Truth is a very difficult commodity to come by in this day and age. We have far too many people who don't want you to have the truth. It's kind of like the old Jack Nicholson line in A Few Good Men. It's not that we can't handle the truth. It's that they are afraid of letting us have the truth. You know, when there's a revolution in a country, when there's a coup, the first thing the rebels do, besides seizing the palace, is to seize the broadcast stations. It's all about controlling the flow of information. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And if you can control the information, then you can keep the people that you're trying to rule stupid and foolish. We need to push back. We need a stand your ground law, not about guns, but about debate. When someone says something that's outrageous, confront them. Not physically. Let's be civil. The Constitution talks about the right for peaceable assemblage, underscore peaceable. But damn it, don't walk away from that argument. Don't say, gee whiz, I'm sorry, you misunderstood. You walk up to that sniveling idiot as close as you can and say, who in the world do you think you are to make that kind of an accusation of me? Where do you come off? We have to do it. You may find it uncomfortable in the beginning, but it's very empowering. Trust me, I did it at a debate on a college campus just a few months ago, and it was fun to watch my opponent crumble and start crying and sniveling, and oh my word, it was amazing. And even these so-called liberal professors came up to me afterwards and said, wow, that was refreshing. Because that young lady who was here from Peru as a professor, and I don't care where you're born, no one has control over their race, religion, ethnicity, or place of birth. We land where we land. We didn't ask to be brought into this world. But this lady from Peru told me that my problem, was that in her judgment, I had a Eurocentric view of the world. Eurocentric. In other words, my problem is my family ancestry, that my mother came from Poland and my dad's parents came from Eastern Europe, from Russia, Romania. Is that really a problem? Why in the world should we allow ourselves to be insulted that way? That's no more distasteful than attacking somebody because of their race or religion. I've confronted, and we've all confronted our share of louts, the anti-Semites and the racists and the bigots. Nobody should be able to get a free pass for saying scandalous things. The way you stop it is by standing up and pushing back. Standing up and pushing back. We're Americans. we're known for speaking our mind. You know, they were playing the song My Way, Sinatra's great song, one of my favorites. And there's a great line in that movie, and they were playing it yesterday because of Derek Jeter's last day, and what an amazing game he had for his finale at Yankee Stadium. It was a picture book ending, and those of you who are familiar with it know what I'm talking about. But in that song, My Way, there's this line that Sinatra sings, and the song was written by Paul Anka, if you don't know. But he says, "What is a man, what has he got, if not himself, then he has not, to say the words he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels." Well, what was he saying? A real man, a real adult, you could say the same of a woman, is somebody who speaks their own mind and has the guts to do it, has the guts to do it. So I'm asking all of you to resolve that you will no longer be pushed around. If someone says you're being anti-immigrant, you tell them, no, I'm pro-enforcement, because those folks are anarchists. They are deconstructionalists. They are trying to deconstruct, to dismantle the United States and the American dream for Americans. They are the wrecking ball of this country, and we need to stop them in their tracks. And the only way you can do it is by pushing back. Push back, come on with the facts, and make your voice heard. Make your voice heard and resolve to be a better employer for your employees, our elected representatives. That's the job all Americans can. That's the job all Americans must do. You know, I always like to end my commentaries by reminding people that democracy is not a spectator sport. Indeed, it's not. I'd like all of you to go to my website, michaelcutler.net. Please go to capsweb.org. Great folks out there in Santa Barbara, California, good friends, good people working their tails off to try to get the message out there. Same thing with Front Page Magazine. Progressives for Immigration Reform have an article coming up, a paper actually that I wrote. They'll be posting it very shortly. There's a bunch of organizations that are trying, folks. Get on the bandwagon, hop on the train with us, and let's push back. Let's push back. Let's hold our elected representatives accountable, and let's let our opponents know that we are not rolling over and playing dead for anybody. Not now, not ever. We are Americans. Have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to seeing you next time, same time next week, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Good night, everybody.